This week is Parashas Korach. Korach. Korach made a lot of problems for Moshe Rabbeinu. Legend has it, I've seen this in a few Hasidic Sfarim, legend has it that at the time when Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, all of the Chashuvim joined forces with Korach. Korach was so charismatic, he was brilliant. He was a very powerful force, and Moshe Rabbeinu was left with just the Pshutim, the Hamoina. So it was a very frightening time in the history of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael could have suffered very great damage due to Korach until HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and spared us from Korach. Now, in defense of Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to discuss a topic of where every single week of the year, and especially in the summertime, we come to defend Moshe, or at least we come to recognize the greatness of Moshe. And that is Shabbos, Mincha, when we recite Tzidkas HaTzedek. The three psukim of Tzidkas HaTzedek is three psukim of Tzidduk HaDin. And the reason why it is recited at that time is because we have a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu died at the time of Shabbos Mincha. Shabbos Mincha, I guess that means Shabbos after Mincha Gedola, or at least in the later afternoon. And in fact, this is recorded by Rav Amram Goin. This minute goes back about 1,000 years from the time of the Goinim. Rav Amram Goin in his Siddur writes that on Shabbos Mincha, we recite three psukim that discuss Tzidduk HaDin as a zecher for the Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. And not only that, Rav Amram says it is a time when you're not allowed to learn. We have a tradition, Talmud Chacham Shemes, based Midrashay Batal. When a Talmud Chacham dies, his base Medrash is Batal. There is no learning that takes place in his base Medrash, because Torah brings Simcha, Bekudei Hashem Yisham is Samchei Lev, the study of Torah brings Simcha, and the Mokum that's Meyuchet for the base Medrash of a Talmud Chacham, in that Mokum, there is no learning of Torah. And that's why the whole... For how long? So some learn during Shiva, or some learn, I think I saw in the Gemara one interpretation, it learns forever. They shut down the yeshiva. The yeshiva shut down, they make a new yeshiva. A new person now gets a chance to make a yeshiva, but this makom that was miyuchah for the Talmud Chacham is batal. That's an extreme interpretation. Most places can learn during the time of the Misa, during the time of Avelus, 30 days, 7 days, for a short period of time to recognize the loss of the Talmud Chacham. Being that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, and he died on Shabbos, so we commemorate his Petira with Tzidduk HaDin, and from Mincha Ulamala to the end of the day, Me'ikar HaDin, at least back in the ancient times, the custom was you're not allowed to learn. But in order that people should not sit in the Yoshev bottle, you shouldn't absolutely do nothing, we do learn. Rav Aram Goin says, what do we do? L'zeich Moshe, we learn Pirkei Avos. Now why Pirkei Avos? Very simple. How does the Pirkei Avos begin? Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai Umasra Yeshua. So it's amazing, all six parakim, which almost have nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, the remaining five parakim, and then the Braisa, the sixth part, which is the Braisa, Shanu Rabbanon, that is not part of Shanu Chachamim, that is not part of the, it's not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, that is only learned as an extension of the first Mishnah, which mentions Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai, and Mesechta Avos is called Al Shem Moshe Rabbeinu. So you have to remember three things are happening over here. Moshe was Nifter Shabbos Mincha. We remember this, we mourn for him by saying Tzidduk HaDin. There's a custom, you should not greet your friend, you're not supposed to say Good Shabbos. Whether you say it in Yiddish, good, you say it in English, good. You're not supposed to greet your friend after Shabbos Mincha because it's a time of mourning. When you go to a Beis Avel, you're not supposed to say, oh, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. Right? When you go to a Beis Avel, the only one that's important is David HaMelech died on Shavuos. I don't remember hearing that. On Shabbos Mincha. Yeah. David also, it could be. It could be. I don't know. But here he says we don't Shabbos Mincha. Moshe was Nifter Tzidduk HaDin. No, today this custom has been diluted. There is absolutely nothing wrong with learning Torah. But we still observe. We say Tzidduk HaDin, and there is still a custom to say Pirkei Avos.
Okay, right.
Today that is bottled. That appears not to be the case. Today there is no prohibition, there is no longer custom not to learn Torah. Talmud. But Rav Amram Hagoyin mentions that in his time it was off limits. There's no learning taking place. It is a time when the entire Klal Yisrael is in a state of mourning. And being that people should not be Yoshev Batal entirely, so we'll learn Pirkei Avos, we'll read Pirkei Avos, not necessarily learn Pirkei Avos, which mentions Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai.
Was that from Rav Amram Hagoyin's time too, they learned Pirkei Avos?
Yes, he says the Farish.
That was the whole year they learned Pirkei Avos?
Enochinami. So from that, exactly, you're touching upon the next point of our topic. What time of the year is it customary to recite Pirkei Avos? So what do you want to say?
The order of Sukkah.
Yeah. It's Nusach Sfar, Nusach Ashkenaz. I don't know the answer. All he says, and I have he actually quote from Rav Amram Gon. What I'm telling you over here is coming from the Sefer Minig Avosenu B'Yodenu. This is the third volume. He writes the Oimer Elo Habsukim. He tells you the order. Tzidkoscha Tzedek Li'olam, v'tzidkoscha Lakim Ad Marom, v'tzidkoscha Kehare Kel Ad Odom V'Hemo Toshi Hashem, O'Mekadesh. So he writes Nusach Ashkenaz. This is the Nusach Ashkenaz. The order of Ashkenaz is not Nusach Sfar. I don't know why. It's Sfar, they reverse the Psukim. I don't know the answer why.
The Psukim are in order.
In what in Tanakh? Or in Tanakh? Okay, but this appears to be a quote. This is a quote from Amram Gon, Seder of why they reverse the order.
Who is the author of this Sefer?
Of this B'nai Yisrael Torah? Of Oberlander. Of Gedalia Oberlander. Okay, so he quotes these three psukim. Now, based upon what you have mentioned, in Echanami, the custom is, and this he points out, makes a very point, when do we recite Pirkei Avos on Shabbos? Most of us were brought up with the belief you only recite it between Pesach and Shavuos. If you want to be Machnir, you'll say it the whole summer. Some shuls have nothing to do the whole summer, so they have speakers that will come and darshan Pirkei Avos in the summertime. But we never heard anyone saying Pirkei Avos once you get past Rosh Hashanah. Once you get past Rosh Hashanah, you've never heard of saying Pirkei Avos. It's not also. You only say Baruch Hinafsha, but the truth is it's not true. There are many sources that indicate that Baruch Hinafsha was said at least during the winter. Maybe not necessarily during Purim's time, but at least until the winter, it was said. Pirkei Avos was said in the winter time. The Choref and the Kayetz, it was said in the winter time, and he brings here many sources, Minhagim, that they would actually say it the entire year, no exception. Being that the main reason, one of the main reasons why we say Pirkei Avos is a zecher for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe died Shabbos Mincha, Tzidik Hadin, learning is off limits. There shouldn't be bittul of Torah, and we should focus on Moshe. Moshe, Kibul Torah B'Sinai, you're supposed to say Pirkei Avos the entire year, week after week. What most of us have been brought up with is the reason why we say Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos, because it teaches us about Derech Eretz, Midas Derech Eretz, and between Pesach and Shavuos, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died, because Shaloi Nohagu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh, in order to compensate for the fact that they were not know how to cover Zeh B'Zeh, we learned Pirkei Avos, which teaches us how to have Derech Eretz for our fellow man. Another reason why we learned before Matan Torah, nothing to do with Talmid Rabbi Akiva, is because Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Before you could receive the Torah, you have to have good midos tavos. So we learned Pirkei Avos the 7 weeks from Pesach to Shavuos in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. So some want to say that the reason why we recite Pirkei Avos is because in the summertime, starting the spring from Pesach, a person has a stronger Yetzirah. Today we don't appreciate this because we live in a modern world and there's no difference. There's no difference exactly. There's no difference day and night. There's no difference winter, summer. We have an ability to enjoy ourselves whenever we want. But in ancient times, the winter, people shut down. There was nothing to do in the winter. The winter was freezing cold. There were short days, long dark nights. There was nothing to do. And people did not have opportunities to do averos. Simple as that. When it became got springtime, after being closed up for a whole winter, you have a Yetzer Hara to go out and enjoy the world, to go out, beautiful weather, to conquer the world, and you find yourself doing things that that a nice Jewish boy should not be doing. So Chazal enacted that you should learn Pirkei Avos to keep you in check. to learn some Musar. It's an early form of Musar. To put yourself in order, not to...
That's not Misad Moshe.
And that would mean nothing, exactly, nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the time of the year between spring and fall when people find themselves in the matzav where they have opportunities to do Averos, especially in the long Shabbos afternoon, when the long summer days. So therefore, Chazal said a person should learn some Musar, learn Pirkei Avos, keep him in order. Another reason given is because it was common in ancient times, people would go in the summertime and in the springtime to heal their bodies. People were weak, they would go to doctors and they would let blood. Bloodletting was done during this time of the year. People did different things which would benefit their health. So Chazal took note and they said, if you're doing things at this time of the year to bring health to your physical body, wouldn't it be proper to do things to give health to your spiritual self, to your neshama? So therefore, Mimela Zelu Mazeh, they instituted that a person should focus on Midos Tovos, or refuah for the neshama, refuah hanefesh and refuah saguf. Many of these reasons only apply between Pesach and the summertime. That was the tkufa where a person would focus on his health. And as you mentioned, the Yetzirah, so according to these reasons, it has nothing to do with the Ketira of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, let's just go for another question. How many parakim does one recite each week? So the answer is... The answer is, well, we have a cost of only reciting one parak per week. Now, it works out very nicely between
the end of the summer,
then you have to double up. But even those who have the custom, this year was a very unusual year, those who have the custom to recite between Pesach and Shavuot, so it works out very nicely. There are usually exactly six Shabbosos, so exactly six Parakim, five Parakim plus the Brisa, so it works out very nicely. But what about a year like this year? This year was a very unusual year. It only happens, it's not going to happen for another 21 years, where you had Parshas, what?
But you still have 6 weeks.
This year you had 7 weeks. There were seven Shabbosos. This year Parshas Noso was before Parshas. But wasn't it Perek Aleph?
Was Perek Aleph.
But what wasn't Parshas Noso before Shavuos Perek Aleph?
No.
It wasn't? It was Perek Vav? Okay, I'm not sure. There are different ways to calculate to do the Parshas. So where do we lose a parasha?
Six parashas before.
But before, not okay. I take it back. Then I have to go to the calendar. There are years when it doesn't always work out perfectly. So then there's a question: what do you do? What do you do? How do you do? Do you use the hakpada? So there are different ways to make the calculation. How many parakimuts? Generally, you only read one parak. However, there are times when there are different opinions. There are some minhagim where they read all six. Can you imagine every Shabbos, before you go to Shalashuddas, you have to read all six parakim. Not one parak, all six. There's another custom, this is a very interesting custom, where you read two. Now if you study the Mishnayos, you'll take note that he explains it that the first and the second parakim are related, because the theme that appears in the first Mishnah is similar to the theme that appears at the end of the second parak. For example, let me explain. It begins, the first parak begins, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. That's the beginning of the first parak. What is the end of the second parak? The last Mishnah is, Im Limadeta Torah Harbe, Al Tachzik Tova La'atzmecha. So the beginning begins with Torah, and the end of the second parak ends with Torah. Okay, let's go to the next two parakim. Parak 3 begins with Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer Lifnei Mi Ata Osei Litin Din V'Cheshben. What is the end of the fourth parak? The last mission of the fourth parak. The fourth parak concludes Al Karchach Ata Chai V'Al Karchach Ata Meis V'Al Karchach Ata Osei Litin Din V'Cheshben. Exactly the same theme. The beginning of the third parak and the end of the fourth parak have the same concept of giving giving din v'cheshbon. What's the beginning of the fifth perek? Basara mamaros nivra ha'olam. And the end of the sixth perek, okay, what we call the sixth perek, includes kol ma shebara hakadosh baruch hu b'olamo lebara elol b'chvaida. He only created for his own honor. So it comes out that the beginning of the fifth perek and the end of the sixth perek deal with the inyan of b'riyas ha'olam. So it's amazing. We have over here a different minhag, and this minhag makes a lot of logical sense. To recite each week not one perek, but to recite each week two perakim. And the reason being is because the beginning of perek aleph and the end of perek beis have the same theme. The beginning of perek gimel and the end of perek dal have the same thing. The beginning of perek hey and the end of perek vav have the same theme. That's a new idea, novel idea. And by the way, there's another minhag. This is an interesting minhag, is being that the whole perek aleph begins with Moshe kibul Torah miSinai. There's a custom. Main custom is only to recite Pirkei Avos from Pesach, Zman of Yitzias Mitzrayim, until Shavuos, when we receive the Torah. When we receive the Torah, Moshe Kibul Torah Misina, right? So that's simple. Forget about Moshe Rabbeinu, forget about Yetzahara, forget about Refuas HaNefesh, Pashat, it's Hagdama, Derech Eretz Kadmu LaTorah. But besides Derech Eretz Kadmu LaTorah, the theme of Pirkei Avos begins with Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai. So when we come to the Torah, we have reached our destination. Now, as an outgrowth of that, it appears there's another very interesting minhag. Ooh, another interesting minhag. To read Pirkei Avos, no, I got it. To read Pirkei Avos until Parshas Voeschanan. Okay, so we would think it would go until Shabbos Nachamu. And so you tell me the reason why you can read until Shabbos Nachamu is because first we have the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that died, the Shalei Nohagu covered their Zelazeh, and then we're being Misabel, we're coming to the Ben HaMetzari, we're Misabel Chum Es HaMikdash, and because of Sinas Chinam. So you say the learning Pirkei Avos deals with Midas Tovos, so it's perfect for Talmid Rabbi Akiva, and it's perfect for the Kuf of the Ben HaMetzarim. But that's not the only reason. It's Parshas V'eschanan and the Lucho Shinios. So we read it until we come to the Torah. Since the theme of Pirkei Avos begins with Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai, we're not finished until we get not just the first set of Luchos, but until we get the second set of Luchos. So there is such a custom that's cited here in this Sefer of Oblander from Pesach until the Luchos Shinios, which is Parshas Voeschanan.
Of
Amram good, what to learn Talmud later on. It seems that at the time of Amram Gaon, he makes no mention whatsoever that it was limited to being Pesach and Shavuos.
Right.
From the simple reading of Amram Gaon, it was the entire year round Lezech and Moshe Rabbeinu. Not everyone, Rav Amram Gaon, his minhag were not necessarily accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael. He's reporting what was done in his Ashkenaz, what was done in his community, but not everyone in the world had the same. What?
Who was he
from?
He was in Babel, no?
I'm not sure. Okay, I'm not sure. But whatever, I'm sorry. I don't mean nationality, right? Okay, whatever it was. Aram Gon, it's not as muchach that what he did was accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael. There's many minhagim. Yeah. To say Eiv.
Yes.
Eiv and Mishlei.
Yeah.
Ah, so it makes perfectly makes sense. And nicely that it's a Zecha of Moshe, so this was the work Moshe wrote, say, for Eiv, and it's Moshe, so it fits in very nicely to this approach of a Zecha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, now there is another. There are many interesting simanim. There's one simon called a simon nefesh. What does nefesh stand for? Noso, Pinchas, and Shoftim. What are those parashios? So this, when you start, and some say, no, that's not when you start, it's when you end. There's always another interpretation. But that's a common simon that is mentioned with regard to Pirkei Avos. Nefesh. You start, I think halacha lemaaseh, most of the calendars that we are familiar with use that simen. Those are the weeks when you start a new cycle.
That's this year, won't be.
Won't be this year, why not? Because this year and another, and Echanami, right, this year and this is an unusual year, you're right. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Why, before we begin each parak, we say Kol Yisrael Yei Shel Chelek Lo'olam Haba, and when we conclude, we mention Rabbi Chaim Ben Akashi Oimer Ratz Hakadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael Chofti Chivon Torah Mitzvos. How in the world did that creep into the Pirkei Avos? It's a very big mystery, and there's no real clear answer. So first, we want to say simply that as far as Rabbi Chaim Ben Akashi, we have a tradition that you don't. The world exists in the zuchus of Yeheshmei Rabba and the kaddish of Agadita. Right? It's a Gemara in Masechta Brachos. There are two things every single day we say. The kaddish that we'd say Yeheshmei after learning Agada. So some want to suggest you're only allowed to say Kaddish on Agada. You're not allowed to say Kaddish on learning Mishnah. That's not so simple. You can really say Kaddish on learning anything, but there is such a memra that you do not recite Kaddish over the learning of Mishnayis. So in order to be able to recite a Kaddish Drabonon at the conclusion of reciting Pirkei Avos, and it can very well be that this Kaddish recited Zecher Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a Kaddish Rabbanon to his Neshama, Kaddish Rabbanon for Moshe Rabbeinu, and you can't, Mishnayis does not qualify, and the first six Parakim, the first five Parakim are clearly on Mishnah, it's not Agada, so in order to be able to say the Kaddish Rabbanon, we have no choice but to conclude with the Member of Agadata, and a very popular Minig Yisrael, the Member of Agadata that we use as an introduction to say a Kaddish Rabbanon will be Rabbi Chanan ben Akashi. But what about saying Kol Yisrael Yesh Al Chelik L'Olam Haba? It's a very big mystery. So one answer given is touches upon another reason why we recite Pirkei Avos. Nothing to do with Moshe, nothing to do with the summertime, nothing to do with the Yitzhahara, with Kabbalah Satorah. It's simply because Shabbos Mincha was a time when the Ame Haratzim would come to the Beis HaKnesses. The whole week they would be working in the fields and making Parnasa. It was a time of the week when everyone came to Shul to hear Kriyas HaTorah, to Shabbos Mincha, for the Drasha. They were present. Pirkei Avos is something which is shavel l'chol nefesh. People that were not educated are not able to learn a daf gemara, to learn difficult halacha concepts. They were taught Pirkei Avos. It's davar hashavel l'chol nefesh. In order to encourage people to learn Torah, they would start with a memra that is delicious for everyone to hear. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik l'olam haba. This is something which Amei Haratzim would love to hear. Amei Haratzim felt that Torah is not for us, Olam Haba is not for us, we work, we're busy, we're not religious, we don't do things. No, what's the purpose of coming even to Shul on Shabbos? To encourage them, since this was the Seder Halima that was miyuchad for them, and once it was miyuchad for them, Kal the minig was everyone should participate in order to mechazek the hamoinam who come to Beis HaKnesses. So being that sometimes they would start in the middle, this parak, that parak, you would begin with an expression with a Marmech Hazal, which would awaken the hearts and minds of these people by telling them, every person, no matter what you do for Parnassus, no matter how much you learn, how many mitzvahs you do, whether you do mitzvahs, the only mitzvahs, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek L'Olam Haba. That's seemingly the similar reason how this was included in Pirkei Avos. There's another very beautiful reason given by the Medrash Shmuel. Medrash Shmuel is a very popular sefer on Pirkei Avos. So he says an amazing yisod, because when you learn Pirkei Avos, after you finish learning Pirkei Avos, you need a psychologist. It's very depressing. We think only Eve is depressing. Learning Pirkei Avos is depressing because there's a lot to do. There are a lot of good nidos, milos, that a person should strive to accomplish, achieve in this world. And we all know, good and well, that we fall, we fall short. We don't achieve even a fraction of what it tells us to do in Pirkei Avos. Many people, when they read these books about Gedolim, I remember a woman who told me she read the book by Rebbetzin Kanievsky. So she said to me, I didn't read the book. I don't know. I love to read the book. I have a chance. So this woman said to me, I had such chalishas hadas when I read that book, and I look at myself, my lifestyle, compared to things that it says about her in the book. I have chalishas hadas. I'm living a world of make-believe. What? It's not all fiction. I didn't read the book. But even if there are things that are exaggerated, which is not for me to say.
I don't like the books about you, right?
There are things.
That would be science fiction.
Okay. But the point is, if that's what a person could say about a book that's written about a human being, Allah has kam v'kamo, when a person takes seriously what it says in Pirkei Avos, all the milas, the midas, toivas, it can bring a person lidei chalisha sadas. So as preventive medicine to people that really take it seriously, unfortunately we don't take anything seriously today, everything by yesterday is a big joke, but people who take Pirkei Avos seriously, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu launched a person in this world, it can have a very damaging effect on us. Chalisha sadas. So as preventive medicine, don't worry. Even if you're only a Makayim, a teeny fraction of what it says in Pirkei Avos, that's your ticket to Gan Eden. Call Yisrael Yeshem Chilag Olam Haba. Yes?
Can we say that, I mean, you have so many way of expressing it, that each statement represents the essence of what...
Absolutely,
so
that,
yeah. You pick and choose, you have to do mamash everything, every Tanner or Kiva or...
Ideally, you would like to do everything. There's truth to everything. Every point in your life, you identify with a different Tanner. Maybe at one moment in time, every given situation, you only identify with one Tanner. There are times you have to get angry. There are times you have to show a little gaiva de kedusha. But there are other times in your life, you have to be ma'od ma'od haveshval ruach. Every tkufa you have to identify with a different time, and you have to take it all in. Okay, so this is an interesting idea from the Medrash Shmuel. Now, before we conclude, this is really what I really, one of the main topics that I really wanted to discuss is the main reason why we recite Pirkei Avos is Rav Amram Gaon tells us it's a zecher for Moshe Rabbeinu. This is parasha Korach challenge Moshe. We have emuna. Shlema, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the Av HaNevim, he brought us Torah, everything Moshe Rabbeinu told us is MS, and when he was Nifter, we mourned for him, Tzidkas Chetzedek, and we learn a Mishnah, a Masechta, that mentions him by name in the beginning, Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai. Because Moshe died on Shabbos. Really? Did Moshe Rabbeinu really die Shabbos afternoon? There are two sources in Chazal which make it very clear that Moshe did not die Shabbos afternoon. Number one, Chazal tell us in the Gemara he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah the moment before he died. Now we know it does not necessarily mean he actually wrote from the beginning to end. It means he finished. He already had the Sifrei Torah just missing the last letter, and he finished off the last letter of 13 Sifrei Torah, and he gave it to the 12 Shvatim. Each Shefer got their own Sifrei Torah, I guess with their own Ksav. Ksav Ari, Ksav Beis Yosef, Ksav Vilish. I guess every Shevet had a unique Ksav. Maybe the Lubavitch had Sudaka with an Al instead of a Hey. Okay, I'm not going there. But he gave a Sefer Torah to each Shevet, and he gave one Sefer Torah to be put in the Aron to be the Sefer Torah from which all other Sefer Torah would be authenticated from. Shabbos, you're not allowed to write. Even Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to write on Shabbos. So how could it possibly be that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta Shabbos afternoon when you're not allowed to write? So this is a very big problem. Another very big problem is we have a Medrash. A Medrash is clear as day. It's known in one place and multiple places that Klal Yisrael conquered Yericho on the 28th day of Nisan. And the Medrash says explicitly, it was Shabbos. The day they conquered Yericho was Shabbos Kodesh. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know as a fact, was Nifter on Zayin Adar. And you do the math. I'm not good at math. You do the math. If Chof Ches Nisan was Shabbos, you work your way backwards, it has to come out that Zayin Adar was Erev Shabbos. So we know that also. How do we know that Adar that year was Mole? I think we know that. There's another source. I don't know the answer to your question because they ate the man on the 10th day of Nisan. There are parts of this equation which I don't know. Right? I don't know the full answer. I didn't make all the calculations, but we have. It's a given. No one argues with this. The Medrash that says that it was Chof Ches Iyar and it was Nisan. It was Nisan when they conquered Yericho, and it was Shabbos. Forces us without any question to come to the conclusion that Zayin Adar was Erev Shabbos. So what's going on? Moshe died. Tzikas Chetzedek. Chazal say he died. He died on Erev Shabbos. So there are many interesting answers to explain, and these answers, they open up for us really a whole new appreciation of death, unfortunately, of what it's about. One popular answer is that's right, Moshe Taka died Erev Shabbos, but he was buried. Vayikber also by Gai Hashem buried Moshe on Shabbos. Moshe was not buried the day that he died. Which is a very interesting... What?
Make a kavura on Shabbos?
Well, Hashem, we can't make a kavura on Shabbos, but Hashem has a different set of rules. You're asking a very good question. How can Hashem bring rain? The children will do this. How can he test? How is Hashem allowed to have it rain?
It's an example
for now that I carry on Shabbos. Yeah. You're right, Hashem is Makai in the Torah. It's an excellent question. I don't have an answer to this. One of the answers given. The Malcham Avos, Hashem, there was no Malcham Avos. Hashem himself did Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem, Moshe was not buried. We don't know. Vayikbar also Bagai. Moshe's kvur was done on Shabbos, so therefore the end was not until the kvur. This is a very big question in halacha. You know, Bisman Hazeh, people in America, it's not very common in America that a person is buried on the day that he dies. In Eretz Yisrael, it's much more common, but in Chutz Liar, it's not as common due to technicalities. And then there comes a very big question: when is the first yahrzeit? Is the first yahrzeit from the Yom HaKavura or is it for the Yom HaMisa? So it's accepted that if it's only one day, then it's done from the Yom HaKavura, the first yahrzeit. That's Shulchan Aruch. The first yahrzeit, the first year, is Yom HaKavura, not Yom HaMisa, provided that it's only a difference of one day. If it's 3 days, it is accepted. You go back to the Yom HaMisa. If it's 2 days, it's a machlokes. Some go back to the Yom HaMisa, some go to the Yom HaKavura.
This year we're talking 30 days.
But when you're dealing with a Ibayar, when you're passing through a leap year, then everyone agrees it's the Yom, it's going to be, if you pass spinning more than 12 months, everyone agrees the Yom HaMisa, not the Yom HaKavura. But you see in Halacha, such a very interesting copy, there's a concept, we don't know what goes on with the Neshama, but there's Yom HaMisa, Yom HaKavura, and some. And the fact that we are saying tzidduk hadin by a person dies, it's not tzidduk hadin. When do you say tzidduk hadin? By the cemetery. Tzidduk hadin is recited after kivura. That's the metzias. So when we mourn, when we say tzidduk hadin, we emphasize tzidduk hadin. It's Shabbos mincha because that's the time of misa. That is one approach. What we said it tzidduk hadin, right? We said tzidduk hadin. But the Yom HaKavura was on Shabbos. The p'tir was on Erev Shabbos. Now another answer given, this very interesting answer, is that Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a more mystical type of answer that when a person dies, he dies twice. His mazel dies. And then he physically dies. It's a very spooky concept. And in fact, I think the Orach Chaim discussed this in Parshas Hazinu, and there are many sources. We have in Hashanah Rab, even the Ramah talks about this. Ramah says in Hashanah Rab, a person should go out and see if he can see a shadow. He should stand under the moon, in the light of the moon, and see if he can see a shadow. And if a shadow is double the size, I don't know exactly, you should do some tests, a scientific test with regard to your shadow, and that will indicate the person is going to live out the year. And the Mishnah Berurah says, don't try this at home, because we don't know what this means, and we're not. But there's such a concept that Hashem, Tzilucha Hashem, a person has a mazel. And before a person dies, before a person physically leaves this world, 30 days in advance, the Orach Chaim says 40 days. But the other sources say 30 days in advance, a person's mazel dies. The mazel dies. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. We don't know what this means. But the mazel, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's mazel died. If Moshe Rabbeinu died on Erev Shabbos, Zayin Adar, go back 30 days to Zayin Shvat, it's a Shabbos. So when we're saying Tzidduk Hadin, we're saying not for his physical departure, we're saying for Moshe Rabbeinu's spiritual departure, his mazel. His mazel left us a month before his actual physical body. So that's just an interesting idea to open up why... Aruch Chaim says 40. Aruch Chaim is very interesting because Aruch Chaim, that's a very beautiful discussion, because a person, how long does it take a person to be born? From conception until the neshama comes into his mother's womb, 40 days.
But it won't be Shabbos according to him.
So we're not working with Aruch Chaim. Could be there's two different. We're not. The Aruch Chaim is very nice because it complements beginning of life.
Right.
We know that beginning of life, from the time of conception until the neshama enters into the body, is 40 days. The Aruch Chaim says the mazel leaves 40 days before the guf leaves. So that's also complements. There's a gradual entry and a gradual departure. The mazel comes, the koyach of the neshama comes in advance, 40 days, and then until the baby is born, there's a process, builds up. Likewise, with departure, 40 days before the person. The Aruch Chaim, the person can sense it. When a person is not, a person, he can sense already, the 40 days are here, he already can sense that the mazel already has left, and it's just a matter of the physical body shutting down. Spooky stuff, but we think we reenact this. We focus on this every Shabbos. Shabbos Mincha. Zekoska Tzedek. Moshe didn't die Shabbos. Moshe couldn't die Shabbos. So you want to say he was buried Shabbos? That's one approach. You want to say that he it's the mazel. Zayin Shvat. We're referring to Zayin Shvat is when the mazel left. Another very simple answer is Moshe died Erev Shabbos. But Erev Shabbos is not a zman when we are in a frame of mind, to be Mesabel.
Right.
We're busy. Everyone is running around preparing for Shabbos. You got to get into the shower. You got to go make the chalas. You got to go make all your Shabbos preparations. Who has time to think about Moshe Rabbeinu? The state of Kaschat Tzedek. So Chazal. What?
You don't even say Yeshiva Seisa.
When? Which Moshe?
When
yeah.
Levi after the
Chatzot. Friday, because we're too busy.
And
right.
Who wrote Yeshiva Seisa? That's Moshe.
Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're too busy for this. So therefore, Memeilo, so Chazal, just out of practicality. It's nothing, you're right, Moshe died, but we just delayed it one day because it's just not practical. What?
What about the days of Shabbos when you skipped it?
Whenever you don't say Tachnon, when a day that you would not say Tachnon, you don't say Tzidik Hadin. It's not a day of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a day in Tzidik Hadin. On a day of no Tachnon, there's no Tzidik Hadin.
So it's as if we're not mourning Moshe Rabbeinu?
To some degree, less. I mean, with still Shabbos also, but you don't say Tachnon on Shabbos, but Shabbos it's Tzidik Hadin. You say you kill Molech.
Of Harachamim. That's
because of Shabbos itself. There are things that Chazal will masak, and Shabbos are very vague. On the one hand, Shabbos is Oinik Shabbos. How are you allowed to focus on death? You can say, of Harachamim on Shabbos. Isn't that a contradiction to what Shabbos is all about? It's there for pleasure. You don't want to think about the dead. Today is Chav Sivan. Today is the day of the Crusades. Tach V'tat. I thought it was tomorrow. I was actually going to speak about this. I'll still talk about it tomorrow. What? What?
Chav Sivan was the day of
sleep. Chav Sivan, right. I thought tomorrow. I was going to prepare a chapter on this. I thought it was tomorrow. I was waiting to say it tomorrow, but maybe we'll do it anyway tomorrow, even though today is Chav Sivan. Was the day where the day of Slichas? I mean, Chav Sivan was the day was Miyuchat to say Slichas. We'll do that tomorrow. But the point is that the Moshe Shabbos is a very strange tufa. On the one hand, it's Oinek, but on the other hand, it's a day where Chazal required us to focus on certain unpleasant events, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu. But if the day also happens to be a Yom Tov, happens to be Chanukah, happens to be Rosh Chodesh, or even Erev Rosh Chodesh, then You don't say it's a Koschat Tzedek. Will you say Pirkei Avos? Well, there are many reasons. It's not, Moshe Rabbeinu was not the only reason to say Pirkei Avos. Okay, so there's one other pshat they say is that the death, and they advise when a person, Rachman Olson, dies. In the Chevek Hadisha, they tell people, don't touch the body, wait a few minutes. Because even though the machines indicate the neshama, the person has died, and there's no function whatsoever in the body, Alpi Kabbalah, you don't exactly know when the neshama leaves. The neshama can still be in the body, and the neshama leaves at its own time. So we don't know when this is, but they advise for a few minutes, you don't touch the body. Because even though the body has shut down, there's a shayach, such a thing, al pi kabal, that the neshama takes time to leave. The greater the person, the longer it takes. whatever that means. I don't know, all this. Moshe Rabbeinu died, it's true. Moshe Rabbeinu died. He died on Erev Shabbos. That's right. His body shut down. His body shut down on Erev Shabbos. Zayin Adar is when the body ceased to function. All the machines indicate that he was. But in a Shema, we have a tradition, according to this approach, that Ramami Pano. The Ramami Pano says this, and the Rokeach, it was a big bukubel Rokeach. Rokeach, heavy duty stuff, Rokeach. It was a process. The body shut down on Erev Shabbos, but the Neshama did not depart until Shabbos Mincha. It lingered in his guf. And that is a limud for us, a practical matter for us, that every person to some degree has a delay. The body shuts down, don't touch the body, a few minutes until the neshama actually departs. Okay, so these are different ideas to give cover to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Korach. V'atem hadvekim Hashem Elokeichem, chayim kuchem ayom. I'm Chanan Akashia.